Hallelujah, hallelujah. Bless you, brother. Obey God.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Aren't you thankful for the friend that we have in Jesus tonight? Hallelujah. Oh, I'm thankful that I know who he is. I'm thankful that to me, he's more than just a story. Hallelujah. I'm glad I know him tonight and that I am known of him. Amen. And I appreciate the goodness of God. I do want to say it is so good to be here tonight. Thankful for the honor that it is to be able to stand here behind this pulpit. I appreciate Brother Shane for asking us to come and to be here in this revival. And we're believing God's going to help us. Amen. We're believing God's going to move tonight. Good to see familiar faces, different ones that we've made friends with, been able to make acquaintance with over the years, and new faces as well. We're just believing God's going to move this week, and I'm trusting for him to reach down and to touch us as only he can. And I give honor tonight to your pastor, to his family, to the ministers that are represented here. You can be turning with me, if you would, to the book of Job, chapter number 14. Job chapter 14, and as you're turning, I do want to say thank you for everything that's been done for me already, the place to stay that's been provided, and I'm just looking forward to what God is going to do. I've been in prayer over this revival. This may seem like an interesting prayer, but my prayer has been, as I have just left preaching revival in North Carolina, left the church I was at today, ended revival yesterday, and as God began to move and to speak throughout that meeting, began to pray and ask the Lord more earnestly for this meeting, and my prayer to the Lord was this, and again, this may be an interesting prayer, but when I felt led to pray, Lord, in this revival, put your finger on the places in our churches that need to be dealt with. Put your finger on the places in our lives that we need to change. I believe that God is a God that will not force us to do anything, but he will give us opportunity to do so. And I am asking God, amen, this week to speak to us, because I understand that the church is facing a day like we've never lived in before. The church and those that are trying their best to serve the Lord, we are facing challenges in these last days. And I am trusting that God is going to strengthen, amen, and that God is going to help tonight. Hallelujah. Job chapter number 14, we're going to read verse 7 down through verse 9. If you would stand with me tonight for the reading of the Word of God, Job chapter 14, verse number 7 through 9. The Bible says these words, "For there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof shall wax old in the earth, and the stock thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud." Amen. Yet through the scent of water it will bud. Amen. If the Lord will help me tonight, I'd like to preach this thought, the fragrance of revival. The fragrance of revival. How many would agree with me tonight that God wants to meet with us? That God wants to have his way. If you would, go to God in prayer with me tonight. Let's ask the Lord to anoint and to have his way. Lord, we love you. God, I magnify you tonight, Lord. I thank you for the burden that you have laid on my heart. I thank you, Lord, for the honor that it is to stand behind this sacred desk and, Lord, to be in this congregation and this body of believers. Now I'm asking, God, that you would open to me the scripture. Oh, God, that you would anoint me to preach and anoint this congregation, Lord, to hear and to receive the word of God. I'm asking that you would move, minister in this house, oh, God, strengthen me in body. Strengthen this voice, God, to be able to sustain. I'm asking that you would help us tonight. Draw us to these altars, oh God. Draw us to a place of prayer. I'm asking you tonight. May the Holy Ghost anoint this vessel. We'll give you the praise and the glory for it all in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. Amen. You may be seated if you feel tonight. Hallelujah. Thankful for the opportunity to be able to minister. And I'm thankful for Brother Shane and his friendship that we've been able to build over the last few years. And he told me coming into the revival, he said, just obey the Lord. He didn't tell me a whole bunch, told me about where I was staying and service time, and that was about it. Amen. And I appreciate that. Just allow the Lord to lay on my heart as he sees fit. Hallelujah. The fragrance of revival. Out of all the books in the Bible, Job is perhaps most well known as a book of great calamity, of tribulation, of testing, of hardship, of loss, and of pain. But the book of Job does not start out this way, for if you go to chapter 1, the Bible introduces us to this man as a great man. The Bible said that he was blessed of God, he was upright and perfect in the eyes of God, and that he was the greatest man in all of the East. God had blessed him. God had blessed him abundantly. God had blessed him in a way that few other men had been blessed. But there came a day that things were about to change. There came a moment in his life where all of a sudden the story is about to get flipped upside down, and Job's life is about to go through a season of trying. Amen. A season of calamity. It is amazing to me just how quickly life can change. It is amazing to me how in a moment everything can be going right, and then suddenly everything can turn and everything can be going in a different direction. Amen. Oh, help me tonight, dear God. We begin to look, and there's a statement that you find, and I've brought this out before in different times, but you find a statement in chapter 1, verse 6, chapter 1, verse 13, and chapter 2, verse 1. And the Bible says these words, "Now there was a day." Amen. "And there was a day." And again, "there was a day." Hallelujah. It seems as if what begins at one moment only progresses in the moments that are to come. Hallelujah. I made the statement. It would be one thing if every storm and every situation that came against our lives and came against our churches, it would be one thing if one thing came and then it faded and another thing came and we were able just to adjust and adapt and to get through everything. But what about when it's the same thing that just keeps building? There was a day that the devil came to the Lord. He said, "Whence have thou come from going to and fro on the earth?" And he said, "Have thou considered my servant Job?" And so the battle begins. Chapter 1, verse 13 to verse 19, Job loses his oxen, donkeys, sheep, servants, and children all in a day. But the Bible said in his response that Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. And he basically tells the Lord, "I'm not going to give up on who you are." He said, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, but blessed be the name of the Lord." Hallelujah. But then there comes another day when the devil takes it from his surroundings and he brings the battle to Job and his health. And we understand that Job is then stricken in his body, that Job is left in a place that he never desired to be till he is scraping the sores that is on his body with the potsherd, the Bible said, that is left there in the ashes of what used to be. Amen. And as if Job's battle wasn't bad enough, then Job's wife has to look at him and say, "Well, you know what, Job, why don't you just curse God and why don't you just die?" Then his friends come to him and tell, if you can call them friends, come to him and tell him basically, "Job, you deserve this and worse than this. You deserve everything that has been given unto you. And by the time we come to chapter 14, this is where Job's life has left him. He said, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Job's outlook on life has now been left hindered because of his circumstances, damaged because of his dilemma. It has now been wrecked by the storm of his life. Amen. But yet somewhere in the midst of his agony, and somewhere in the midst of his torment, and somewhere in the midst of his pain, Job then pins down, I believe, one of the greatest messages of hope that is found within the Word of God. When he said in our text tonight that although the tree may be cut down, it will sprout again. Hallelujah. Although the circumstances have come, although the winds have blown contrary, although the trying and the temptation has come our way, he said the tree may be cut, but the story is not over. Hallelujah. The tree may be cut and it may be wounded, but the story is not finished. Amen. And I am thankful tonight that when it comes to God, down doesn't mean done. Amen. When it comes to our story tonight, wounded doesn't mean defeated. Hallelujah. When it comes to the will of God in our lives, all cut does not mean cut off. Amen. Job is in a place where he is wounded. Job is in a place he does not desire to be. But let's look at this for a moment tonight. He never tries to overlook or to hide the fact that the tree had been cut. If we are not careful, sometimes, even in our trying, we will come to the house of God and almost act as if it's not really going on. But revival cannot begin until after we have become vulnerable in the sight of God. Revival in our hearts and in our lives cannot begin until after we've come to that place of honesty that said, God, I just simply need you to help me. Hallelujah. I just simply need you to help me again. I don't really know what to do where I'm at right now. I don't really know what to do in this present place, but I need you to help me, oh God. Hallelujah. I need you to reach down and help me again. Amen. I believe tonight, I thank God for the shouting, and I thank God for the running, and I pray we do our fair share of it in this revival. I pray we have our fair share of victory and our fair share of rejoicing. But if we don't run an aisle, if we don't roll in the floor, if we don't run the back of the pews, what I do want to see happen this week is that God would reach down again. Hallelujah. And that God would help us. I said that God would reach down again and that God would revive us. Hallelujah. That God would reach down from his throne on high and that God would send us a reviving once again in this day. Hallelujah. Being cut is a painful place. Being cut is a hard place to be. None of us tonight like being cut. Not in the way that Job's referring to. No one. But Job doesn't just end at the tree being cut down, but rather he takes it a step further when he said, though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stock thereof should die in the ground. Now we've gone beyond just the tops of the trees. We've gone beyond just the parts that are most visible or viewed. And now we've gotten down to the foundation. The stock of the tree is the stump or the trunk, And the roots, we understand, run down into the ground to supply those nutrients that are vital for life, but also stability to the tree. Amen. The roots and the stock are the most important part of that tree. The leaves can fall in the winter, but they will return. You can cut off some of the branches, but they will grow back. But if the roots die and the stock dies, the tree dies. Hallelujah. You can be cut and return again. But if the roots die in the ground and the trunk, my God, dies, oh dear God, the tree itself is gone. Ladies and gentlemen, the devil, the adversary of our souls, is on a mission tonight to kill out and to destroy our very walk with God. The devil, the adversary of our souls, is on a mission tonight to kill out our churches, to kill out the move of God in these last days. And the devil realizes that he can't just come in and just snatch us away from God. He can't just come in and do away with everything that God has established. But what the devil does is slowly he begins to try to cut away. Slowly he begins to try to make his impact in our lives and in our places of worship. But can I tell you tonight, the goal of the devil is not just to cut the tree, but the goal of the devil is to kill the roots and to kill the stock. Hallelujah. His real targets, you see, are not just the visible things on the outside, but the foundation that lies on the insides. Hallelujah. The stock or the stump is the foundation, if I can preach it this way tonight, of the tree. My question then becomes, what is the foundation of our walk with God? There's a few different things you might can mention tonight, but simply put, I believe it is this. It is our faith in Jesus Christ. It is our faith in Christ. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8, the apostle writes, "For by grace are we saved through faith, not of ourselves, it is the gift of God." 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7, he said, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul writes, "To fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life." Amen. But beloved, Jude chapter 1 verse 20, "But beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." Amen. Beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Faith is the foundation of our walk with God. And if there's one thing that the devil would love to get his hands on, if there's one thing that the devil, Brother Wesley, would love to kill out in our churches, it is our persuasion in Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. For the word faith in the New Testament, in by definition, means persuasion, it means credence, and it means moral convictions. Amen. And if there is anything tonight, as I stand before you children of God, that the devil is after in our churches, he is after our moral convictions. He is after the persuasion of who Jesus says that he is. Amen. And if the devil could rob us of our faith, he could rob us of our foundation. When the devil came after Peter, when the devil come after the one that Jesus had called, the one that was about to preach the message of Pentecost, what did Jesus tell to Simon Peter? He said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith..." He wasn't after his fishing boat. He wasn't after his career. He wasn't after the devil. When he come after Simon Peter, was after his faith. It was Simon Peter that looked at him and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And when he decided to come after Peter, he come after that persuasion that said, "I know who Jesus is." Hallelujah. He doesn't mind us being religious. Listen to me tonight. He does not mind us knowing the traditions of Christianity, but he does not want us convinced of the reality of who Jesus is. Amen. We can come to church. We can sing the songs. We can know the verses. We can even be fed by the Word of God. But if he can get a hold of our faith, he's done his job. Hallelujah. If he can get a hold of our persuasion in these last days. For you see tonight, he does not want you and I believing the Word of God. He does not want us believing the promises of God. He does not want us believing in the goodness of God. And how do you do those things? You believe them by faith. Hallelujah. How do you do those things? You believe them by faith in the Son of God. Amen. And I've come to tell us tonight that these last days that we are living in are not the time for us to lose our faith. They are not the time for us to be removed so soon from our persuasion. But now is the time to say, "Dear God, increase my faith." Hallelujah. Increase my persuasion. Increase my conviction in who you are. Jesus even asked the question in Luke chapter 18. "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith?" When he returns, he's looking for a people that haven't lost that belief in who he is. Hallelujah. So that is the stock. Secondly, he said the roots died in the ground. If the stock is the foundation, then the roots must represent to us the source of life. The devil is, yes, after our persuasion, but he's also trying to drain the life out of the people of God. He's trying, Brother Shane, to drain the life out of our prayer lives. Trying to drain the life out of our churches. Trying to drain the life out of our worship. That all we are left with is a mundane routine that has become habit. We know when to clap. We know when to raise our hands. We know when to sing. We know when to pray. We know the words to say. But we can go through the motions and be missing the life that we used to have. Hallelujah. We can go through the motions. It's an easy thing to do at times. I have been in the middle of preaching meetings, in the middle of watching God work, in the middle of coming to church and seeing glorious wonders of God, and go back to a place where I was staying and get down on my knees, not to pray for a message, not to pray for a move of God, not to pray for the service, but just to spend personal time with God. And I have left the house of God and watched as men and women ran and they shouted and they rejoiced and get in a prayer closet somewhere and say, "Dear God, I just want to feel that life flow again. I just want to feel that life come back to my prayer life. My God, help me tonight." What the devil would love to see is a bunch of dried up worship, dried up prayer, dried up altar services. My God, hallelujah. I do not want to lose my faith. But I don't want to lose my connection to the source of life. Hallelujah. praise the Lamb of God, to drain us of our life. I have noticed as we look around and realize that we are living in the last days, it seems to me, as time goes, that when we come to the house of God, not every service, I understand, but have you recognized just how tired we seemingly stay? Where it seems like we have to push harder and harder to get through. What is the devil trying to do? If he can keep us so worn down in our minds, so busied in our lives, that when we come to the house of God, we just need to sit down somewhere. It drains the life of the people of God. But I believe tonight, if God wants to do anything, God wants to send life back to His church. Hallelujah. My God. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in my soul tonight. He is the giver of life. He is the creator. To the point that John would write in John chapter 1 and tell us that without Him was not anything made that was made. And then John makes this statement, in Him was life. Hallelujah. In Him, not apart from Him, not around Him, not in some avenue, but without Him, there would be no life. Hallelujah. Without Him, there would have been no let there be, and there was. He is the creator. He is the giver of life. Amen. And the devil would love to convince our churches that life can come from religion, that life can come from tradition, that life can come from good morals. Ladies and gentlemen, life does not come from good people. Life comes from Jesus. I said life comes from being found in Him. In Him is still life. The church does not have life because of a certain name on a sign. The church doesn't have life because of a certain man in the pulpit. But the church only has life if we are found in Him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lamb of God. Jesus said, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. For I am the vine, and you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me, you can do nothing. Without Him, I can't preach this word. Without Him, our lives are of none effect for the things of God. But I read in the book of Acts, as Paul is preaching to the crowd gathered in Athens that day, Paul made this statement, in Him we live, and in Him we move, and in Him we have our being. Hallelujah. I've come to remind us on the first night of revival, if we want to have life in these last and dying days, we must be founded in the shadow of the Son of God. We must be founded in the presence of God. You take away Him, you take away life. You get back to Him, and you have life, and life more abundantly. Hallelujah. I said you get rid of Him, you get rid of life. But if you have Him, He gives life, and life more abundantly. While the world has made it all about themselves, while the modern churches, now we worship, and we put faith in faith, it's still all about Jesus. Hallelujah. I said it's still all about Him. My faith is about Him. My worship is about Him. My life is about Him, because He is the source of life. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. I've come to preach to us tonight on this Monday night that sometimes we just get to a place in our walk with God where we just need to feel that life again. We all have needs. But sometimes I just need to feel that flow again. Come in, my God, I feel the Holy Ghost tonight. Hallelujah. My Lord. Hallelujah. There have been times I have asked God, Lord, it's been a while since I've shouted. I'd like to feel that feeling again. Anybody ever done that? Maybe just me. It's been a while since I felt this way or that way. I would like to feel. But there have been times I've crawled in a prayer closet somewhere and said, Lord, if I don't shout, if I don't feel overwhelming unction and anointing, if I don't feel like I can conquer every devil in hell, I just need to feel you touch me again. I just need to feel your spirit flow through me again. Hallelujah. Oh God. Can I ask somebody tonight, how long has it been since in your spirit you felt that place of breakthrough? How long has it been since mundane become miraculous and ordinary become extraordinary? My God. How long has it been that your soul has hungered for the fresh touch of rain to fall from heaven again? In the busyness of life and the hecticness of life, sometimes it's not that we don't love God or intentionally want to stray from Him, but sometimes we come to a moment of realization, it's been weeks since I just got lost where He was. It's been months since I finally just prayed through. My God. If we are not careful, we, as in the days of old, in the story of the four lepers, there was a time in Israel where the famine had hit so hard that the Bible says they were eating donkey's heads and dove's dung, paying high prices for such things. I didn't have it in my notes, but off of trying to remember, Brother Weston, when I studied it out, if I'm not mistaken, as of last month, they say that in raw silver value, based on the shekels that they thought they probably represented, they were paying 80 pieces of silver for a donkey's head as of last month. They say in raw silver value, that is estimated to be somewhere around $1,600 to $3,000 in U.S. money for a donkey's head. They were paying 5 pieces of silver or somewhere around $290 to $300 for a half a pint of dove's dung. You look at that dove for a moment. What does the dove represent in the Word of God? Represents the Holy Ghost. As Jesus is being baptized and He comes out of the River Jordan, the Holy Ghost descended on Him in the form of a dove. But ladies and gentlemen, they were not eating of the dove. They were eating of the memory of where the dove used to be. And if we are not careful, we're paying high price to live with the memory of where the Spirit used to be. My God, help me. I do not want to live with the memory of the dove only. My God, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I do not want to live in the memory of where the Spirit used to dwell, but I want to live in the freedom of the Spirit. Hallelujah. I want to live where the Spirit is currently moving, where the Spirit currently has free reign in our lives and in our churches. Hallelujah. Job said that the tree has been cut, the roots have begun to die, and the stalk has begun to wither. But he said, there is hope. Hallelujah. There is hope. For through the scent of water, it will bud again. Hallelujah. Through the scent of water, it will come to life again.
Hallelujah.
That's good. The scent of water. I'm not going to hold us much longer tonight. Going to give us a chance to pray. The scent of water. The term scent in the Hebrew translates to this: savor, smell, odor. But then there's this little place, if you look it up in the Strong's Concordance, in parentheses. And this is what it says: as if blown in by the wind. Job said, when that thing is dying, what it needs to come to life again is that God would let the wind blow and carry in the fragrance of rain. Hallelujah. It doesn't even have, the water doesn't even have to hit the tree, but all it has to do is catch the scent of rain nearby. If the wind would just pick up the odor of rain nearby and blow it in its direction, it will begin to come to life again. I've come on the first night of revival to ask God, would you let the wind blow again? Would you let the wind blow in our direction? Would you let the wind and catch a scent off of heaven's shore? And to my God, hallelujah, would you let us once again catch the fragrance of revival? Would you once again, Lord, let us catch the fragrance of a move of God's? Can we raise our hands and worship Him for a moment tonight? Let the wind blow, Lord. Let the wind blow. Let it blow in my direction. Let it blow through this church. Let it blow into my family. Let it blow into my situation. Let it blow into my sermon. My God, come on, church. I feel the Holy Ghost. Let it blow through where I've been walking. My God, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let the wind blow again, hallelujah. Let it burn, God. Come on, church, I feel something. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, thank God. Lord, I praise you tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God, let your divine will and way be done in this place. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, church. Worship Him tonight. I don't know what you've been walking through. I don't know what you've been dealing with. But Lord, let the wind blow again. My God, hallelujah. Let the wind blow again, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, we're calling on you, Lord, tonight. Let the wind blow. Let the wind blow again, God. We're hungry, Lord, for a fresh move. We're expecting, Lord, of a fresh touch. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. My God, let your will be done in this house tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let your will be done in this place. Hallelujah, hallelujah. My God, I give you the honor, Lord. Breathe again, oh God. Desire to do tonight. Oh, let your will be done in this house, oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Mighty God. Lord, you've interrupted this service tonight. Finish that what you have started. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Breathe again, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, come on, obey God tonight, church. He's here with us. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God, breathe on us, Lord. Breathe on us, Lord. We're hungry, Lord, for you to move. desperate, Lord, for you to move again. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Mighty God of heaven. Oh, I thank you tonight, Jesus. Breathe across this house, Lord. Breathe across every dry valley. Breathe across every situation. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Mighty God, mighty God. Holy Ghost of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My God, I glorify you tonight, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ora mama 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 sataya. Oh, come on, church. Obey him tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, minister, oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Minister tonight, oh God. Send a fresh move of the Holy Ghost. Oh, reconnect us, oh God, to our source of life tonight, Jesus. And we wish you, Lord, kindness. Precious God. Precious Holy Ghost. Precious Holy Ghost. Oh. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, let it begin to come alive again, God. Oh, every place, Lord, that the enemy's tried to claim for his own, let it begin to come alive again, oh God. Oh, church, if you feel to pray tonight, I'm opening these altars. If you feel to pray or worship right there where you're at, I'm inviting us. Let's find somewhere to get a hold of God. Hallelujah. Come on, I feel the presence of the Holy Ghost in this place tonight. Worship him, church. Hallelujah. Worship him, church. He's come to breathe life again. Ora mama 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 sataya. Ora mama 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 sataya. He's come to bring the fragrance of